Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss, join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL. Matt Ryan moving from Atlanta to Indianapolis. Marcus Mariota, now presumably, for the moment, the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons as well. So we'll get to all that and more. The Deshaun Watson situation as well with Charles coming up at 9 o'clock. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst at 9:30. We'll recap a big win for the Predators last night in Anaheim. They win 6-3. Philip Forsberg with 5 points last night as well. And the NHL trade deadline has come and gone. Philip Forsberg still a part of the equation for the Predators. That coming up at 9:30 with C. Mace as well. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've discussed Matt Ryan moving along to the Indianapolis Colts. What we didn't discuss much today yet is the moves that the Titans have made. Bobby Trees, Robert Woods coming over from the LA Rams. Austin Hooper signing at the tight end position. We discussed that yesterday. What do we make of how the Titans offense looks now? With the picture still incomplete, there's still free agency that is left. There's still the draft that's coming up. But with the moves that have been made, from re-signing Ben Jones to releasing Roger Saffold to bringing in guys like Robert Woods and Austin Hooper, what do you make of where this Titans offense stands at the moment with the moves that John Robinson and the Titans front office have made?
Well, it's funny looking offseason to offseason. You go back to last year, it was like, what could they possibly do to fix this bad defense, you know? Yep. And now it's like, well, defense is all good. What can they possibly do to fix this offense? Certainly nothing will be the splash to match Bud Dupree from last year, big contract given to an outside linebacker, pass rusher. My question is, will there be a move that looks as good and looks as savvy and cost-effective as the move to sign DeNico Autry? I mean, I think that's right now among the John Robinson free agent moves of his tenure. I think that's one of the best ones for sure. Just based on, even if he doesn't give you a great year next year, I mean, he was a fundamental part of a really good defense and one of the best pass rushers in the league by the end of the year. So this is more like a, because I feel like, and I don't remember exactly, but I don't think Bud Dupree was pretty early in the process. Bud Dupree was one of those set the market kind of get after, you know, like get after it and give a big deal. And this year has been more, okay, hold off, wait for the crazy money, and then go get Austin Hooper, which I like. Austin Hooper could look next year kind of like DeNico Autry. You didn't go big, didn't give big money, but you got a really good player. That's the hope, I'm sure. But then the trade for Robert Woods for nothing, basically, in terms of what you gave up. And all of a sudden, it looks like a much, you know, it looks like a better offseason. That's the big question that I have still right now is, how good do the Titans feel? How good should Titans fans feel about the offensive line?
Yeah, that's a big question. And where does Dylan Raiden's fit into that equation? Is it going to be at left guard? Is it going to be at right tackle? I still feel like, in order for me to feel really good about the Titans offense heading into this season, I need one more receiver. Like, I need another receiver to feel good about. And I think at this point, like, that's probably going to come via the draft. A.J. Brown, Robert Woods, I feel good about. Like, if Robert Woods is going to be healthy, I think that's a really good 1-2 punch to have with A.J. Brown and Robert Woods. I would really like a third guy in there, whether that be in the slot or just a third guy that they feel like is the top rated wide receiver on their board. You know, I know with some people, you know, the addition of Robert Woods has maybe shifted the way that they view the first round draft pick and what position to take. And I guess with me, maybe it has a little bit as well. I still, if they ended up taking a wide receiver with their first pick, you're not going to hear any complaints out of me. I think, look, I'm not saying that you have to copy the Cincinnati Bengals, but part of what makes the Cincinnati Bengals really good is they have three guys that they feel like they can throw the ball to. The more options, the better for Ryan Tannehill in my mind. And I would still like to see another receiver added to this group. And I think it'll come via the draft.
Yeah, I agree. Now, will it be one of those top guys early, or will it be a fourth rounder? You know, I don't know. I mean, I would, although there are other needs, I would make the case to get another young top shelf, you know, prospect at receiver. And then you could really have an intriguing offense for sure. If you do that, you would be doing that at the expense of maybe getting, you know, an interior lineman you think could be a, you know, an 8-year player for you and a key, you know, a piece up front, because they need that. They definitely need that. But I guess it's like, what's the drop off from the top, you know, like offensive guards to the middle rounds? And what's the drop off look like at receiver that way? And you know, it's, if you go by your board, if you go strictly by your board, then you go by your board. But I would agree that you got to have one more receiver. I mean, could you be, you know, with, let's say, one at least of Fitzpatrick or McMath takes a huge step. You have Westbrook or Keenan. Maybe Batson comes back and is healthy. I mean, could you be okay then with that group? Yeah, but I think you need to try to be better than okay.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line. Matt from Camden text again says, is there any veteran right tackles left in the market that they could get for $7 or $8 million? For maybe 2 to 3 years. This is coming from Matt from Camden on the text line. I mean, there's Marcus Cannon available. He's 33 years old. Brian Bulaga, who has seen his best football at this point, he's 33 years old. I mean, there's Dennis Kelly. He's free agent. Go get Dennis Kelly.
I mean, it's not the craziest idea.
Bobby Hart, we know what a big factor he was last year. You can put him at right tackle.
Put him in left tackle. Yeah. And win big games with him as your starting left tackle. You know, Jamarco Jones is kind of the swing guy now. You know, it's so hard to answer any of these questions about the offensive line because I don't know what's going to happen with Dylan Raidens. I think he's going to get every opportunity, but at this point, how do they feel about that? How important do they feel that he just works at one position? Because I think it was a fair point. Maybe it was TD or it was Corey or TD on our show made the point, you know, did it hurt him that he bounced around? I will say that in camp for a pretty extended period of time, he was playing tackle and he was not playing tackle well. So it's not like they came right out and said, all right, today you're here and now tomorrow you're going to be over there. Like he was there and it kept going poorly in camp and then they moved him around. But they're not right now willing to come out and say Dylan Raidens is this, but I do think that he's going to get every opportunity to be one of the starting five next year. And so if he can be good for you at right tackle, I'm kind of looking at that as like their preferred scenario. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think it's what they want to happen. And that's where I think the interior lineman that you spend a relatively valuable pick on makes more sense.
Got a texture that says we have to take a quality tackle who can come in and play right away. I'm thinking first round, and then you draft a wide receiver in rounds 3, 4, or 5. So maybe people won't be as upset as I thought they might be if the Titans take a tackle again with a high pick. Every year. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that one texter won't be. So it'll only be 99.999% of the fan base then. Yeah, I don't. That's tough. That's a tough sell, man. That's a tough sell.
Griffin on the text line said, this would be a perfect year to have someone like Kendall Wright back. Maybe a quick shifty guy. I don't think he means Kendall Wright like right at
the
moment.
Like not literally Kendall Wright?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
But someone like him at the time.
Well, then you get into the slot receiver discussion.
Yep.
Adam Humphries, you know, Cam Batts and Chester Rogers. Does that matter? Do they need someone specific to that? Or, Westbrook or Keenan go play in the slot. He can play every position, as has been made clear by Mike Vrabel.
And by certain writers at The Athletic.
Well, that's true, too.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a lot of thoughts to get to on the Titans. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tennessee's been the top dog for a number of years. I think Mike Vrabel is one of the most underrated head coaches in the NFL because they're not a flashy football team. They're one of those, you know, take the lunch pills, the work type guys punch you in the mouth, and they don't care if they do it by a pretty way. I still think Tennessee with Derrick Henry and Tannehill and A.J. Brown and that defense, they're still first in the division until the Colts prove otherwise. I mean, until you knock the king off the mountain, you can't say they're the best team in the division.
That was Mike Wells from ESPN on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning talking about the Colts and the Titans. The Colts are adding Matt Ryan to the quarterback room. How do we think that makes the Colts compared to the Titans in the division? I still think the Titans are the favorite. I look at Matt Ryan and I think to myself, all right, maybe a little bit better than Phillip Rivers. Maybe a little bit better than Carson Wentz. He's not prone to the just absolutely brutal turnover that Carson Wentz was prone to. So there is that the Colts have going for him. But if I'm sitting here today and I'm a Titans fan, like Matt Ryan doesn't scare me that much.
No, I agree. Now, the Colts don't necessarily have to have the greatest quarterback in the world to beat you for the division either. I mean, I think of the – it came down to three alternatives here. Once Baker went on the block and Deshaun Watson went to Cleveland and, with Jimmy G out there. By the way, the Niners thought they were going to find a nice market for trading Jimmy G, and appears that's a little softer than they hoped.
Apparently so.
I still think of the three, Baker would have been – the more because he's younger and I like his ability. I think Baker could have been the most problematic long-term for the Titans. Also, it could have flamed out. So there's a higher floor, lower ceiling with Baker. With Matt Ryan, it reminds me of the Phillip Rivers thing. It's yep. A safe choice. He's a very good player, has been a very good player for a long time. He is on the back end. I think he's probably better than Phillip Rivers was 2 years ago, but it's hard also to know exactly what's going to happen. I do know that, like, with Matt Ryan, like, unlike Wentz or Baker, like, you know, there's never been anything but full, like, approval rating, right, from Matt Ryan behind the scenes, leadership, all that stuff. So that's obviously something the Colts prioritize after a year of Wentz. You know, the Wentz wagon was a little wobbly.
Yeah.
So that'll be good for them. But I still think, like, Baker could have been, who knows, Baker Mayfield, I still think somewhere in this league could end up being a really good quarterback and have a lot of years of that. And Matt Ryan is probably going to be the Colts quarterback for one or two seasons.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jim from Springfield texting in says, the offseason is looking up for the Titans. The Hooper and Woods signings, along with key re-signings, have Tennessee having the number 9 offseason, according to CBSSports.com. This coming from Jim from Springfield. Overall, what do you make of the offseason so far for the Titans as a whole? Not losing much on defense. You've lost Jackrabbit Jenkins. Cunningham still here. Harold Landry's still here. Overall, you feeling pretty good if you're a Titans fan about the way that the offseason has gone so far?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you separate it from a lot of Titans fans were hoping that they were going to find some way to move on from Ryan Tannehill. I mean, if you can move past that and understand, as was pretty clear from the start, that it wasn't realistic, then I'd say that they've made some, this has been like a late, 15-2 run to retake the lead late in the game here with these last two acquisitions, which actually have improved the offense.
Go back to the text line. Caleb from Gallatin texting in. I like what I saw from Marcus Johnson last season. I hope he can stay healthy because he can be an underrated weapon. Do we think Marcus Johnson is back with the Titans? I kind of have my doubts.
I have my doubts too. Look, it was not a mirage in camp, not at all. Every single day out there, he was wearing people out, and he and Tannehill had a good thing. And you saw a little bit of that. You saw it in the Saints game for sure. And he gets hurt again. He talked about it last year. It's been a problem for him. It's just something he hasn't been able to get over. And, for as much as John Robinson, we like to have fun with John Robinson signing injured players, he also will get rid of players who have injuries as a constant thing. Look at Darrington Evans, 2 years for a third-round pick, 2 years of just not being able to get on the field. That's it. Move on.
Yep.
I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of Marcus Johnson getting another crack at it, but you have to be skeptical about him being able to stay healthy, I think.
Got a text that says, you have to have a starting caliber tackle in the NFL. It does no good to have three good receivers if Tannehill doesn't have time to throw the ball. You win up front on offense and defense. Not every first-round lineman will be Isaiah Wilson. That's great. I mean, I hear that thought. You just drafted a right tackle last year. Should they not maybe take a look and see what they got at right tackle with Dylan Raidens?
Right, and that's again. That's where internally, they're not showing their hand. Of course, they're not going to tell us. But internally, how they feel about him is, I think, going to inform that decision. If it's not good, one, that's really bad that you followed up first round Isaiah Wilson, which things happen. But you followed that up with second round Dylan Raidens, and you're not going to have a starting player out of that. That's bad. That's just, how do you overcome that? If you keep having to draft at the same position high in the draft, you're going to be neglecting other positions. So how do they feel about that? It's going to dictate that. But you brought up the Bengals, who are now shoring up their offensive line.
Yeah.
I think the move to go get a difference-making receiver seems to be the right one at this point.
Brian in Portland texting in says, what if we trade back and get a second and another third? We can get Sky Moore in the second and then offensive lineman and a tight end in the third. Forgetting like the specific players in the second and third round, what do you make of the idea of potentially trading back if you're John Robinson? That's something that we always kick around this time of year when it comes to the draft. He's not been afraid to move around in the draft before. A lot of times he's moved up in the draft. What do you think of the idea of moving back if you're John Robinson this year?
It's always – I'm always for it. If you don't have someone at your spot that that you absolutely covet, and someone, but again, it's teams can't just say, "Hey, I'm going to move back now. All right, see you guys. We're going to go over here to the draft." Like, who wants to get into your spot? If someone does, sure. I think it'd be great to add a pick and get into the second round. Where, I mean, look, based on history, John Robinson should not stop drafting in the first round because he's also drafted some good players in the first round. Based on history, his second round has been tremendous. So yeah. Maybe more of that would be good. And, of course, Julio Jones took that second round pick away last year.
Got a text that says, can you explain why the Titans got those extra two picks? I would assume referring to the compensatory picks that the Titans received that came out last week.
It's a very complex formula, and I cannot fully explain it. But essentially, when you lose players in free agency, you get compensated based on production and everything because you lost those players. So that's why they're called compensatory picks. And you can kind of look at how a player did and sort of guess what kind of picks you'll get. But that's basically what it is. You lose players in free agency, you can get extra draft picks out of that.
Which is kind of amazing to me, but yeah, that is what it is.
It is interesting, isn't it? All these leagues with their various rules.
Sean on the text line says, Vrabel said at the combine that Raidens isn't ready to start at this point. That could change, but he sounded unenthusiastic. This coming from Sean on the text line. I mean, he did say that if it was right now, I don't know if I agree with the sounding unenthusiastic part of it. I think they're actually,
I wouldn't agree with that either.
Pretty, based on some of the comments he and Robinson have had, I think they're relatively optimistic for Dylan Raidens as he moves forward here. Like, basically what he's saying was, like, if they had to play today, yeah, he's probably not ready to be a starter. But their charge is to make him ready by the time training camp rolls around.
Yeah, I didn't come away. I mean, look, the way it was discussed there, I mean, it's kind of the way we look at it too. That's what's funny about this is you can look at a guy in practice and see how he's working on the weight room and the meeting rooms and all that stuff. But a lot of this still is, I mean, they were talking about the San Francisco game. And it's just like, you don't know until you see. I'm sure they had no idea what they were going to get out of him that night. And it was encouraging. So I think cautious optimism is probably the right way to put it. Maybe not. Maybe they're just down the middle and just totally unsure. But they did bring up that night as something that gave them, you know, some optimism for him. It's got to be a huge offseason for him in every way that you can improve yourself physically. He clearly, last camp while trying to play offensive tackle, could not block NFL pass rushers. So Yeah. You've got to just – your strength, your quickness, your flexibility, all that stuff has got to be maximized this offseason. It's still a big thing. Even though these are pro football players, you can still get better if you want to work your butt off. I mean, don't tell me Derrick Henry's success doesn't have something to do with, you know, lifting, you know, boulders with his pinkies.
Adam in Portland texting in says, why does Baker Mayfield have this sudden reputation of a quarterback that's immature and can't play? I've always liked him. He's made mistakes, but he's still pretty young. He went from at home with Baker Mayfield commercials to being public enemy number one. This is coming from Adam in Portland on the text. Well,
have you not seen some of his babyish behavior? I mean, he is a crybaby.
There's no question.
Now, look, is he a good player? I think so. I think in the right situation, and if he can stay healthy, that was, you know, his biggest issue last year. But I think he could be really good. He does have to grow up a little bit. Like, again, if you don't understand why your organization would be looking to upgrade at every position, including yours, if you were the greatest quarterback in the league, well, I guess you could get mad about that. But he's not. So shut up and do your job. I mean, he's had a lot of little outbursts over things where it's like, just okay, man, calm down. So, I mean, I think that's pretty well documented. I do think last year his performance had to have a lot to do with the injury. So, where's he going?
I don't know. That's going to be really interesting to see where that lands at this point. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got more of those to get to on the other side. We'll also get into a big day yesterday for Tennessee football as well. All that next. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right, guys. If you're struggling with ED or if you just aren't performing in the bedroom like you'd like to be, Hillside Medical Clinic has a solution. It's called wave therapy. This is helping men all over the country. It uses acoustic waves that essentially open up and regrow blood vessels. You can imagine what that does to life in the bedroom. More blood flow, no more erectile dysfunction, and thank goodness we do it without the use of pills.
And Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this new technology?
Are pretty significant. In fact, there are 50 studies now backing our technology from one of the biggest universities in the world, one of the biggest hospitals in America. They say this leads to a clinical increase in blood flow. And frankly, who doesn't want more of that in the bedroom?
And Andrew, you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
If you're ready to put a stop to your ED, guys, or if you just want to improve and get rid of the pills, yes, call us now. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound will be free with zero obligation, by the way. Also, the gift that rarely, if ever, fails. It produces immediate results in the bedroom, worth hundreds of dollars. It's free to callers now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic at 615-576-5000. Reds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow night on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in says, Joe, I don't think you wished your favorite player in WI a happy birthday yesterday. Thought for sure you would have had a cake and party favors. I look forward to you signing him you singing happy birthday to him on the air. We did miss Nick Westbrook Akina's birthday yesterday. Happy 25th birthday, NWI, friend of the show.
No, I knew. I went out to where he and his girlfriend were having dinner. I tried to sing to him, but then they kind of the bouncer got involved and walked me to my car. No, I'm just kidding.
Just walked up to
him. But are you kidding, Joe? Us
on repeat.
I actually do have an alibi that I was in Knoxville. So, yes, that I can my whereabouts can be verified last night.
Oh, beautiful. I love it. LD from McBenville texting in says, I know I've said it before, but Rex Road's got to be a part of the draft night show. Jared versus Joe on draft night would equal radio gold. It's a good thing you're not busy on draft night.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
You can really get after it.
Thanks for the idea. I'll take that into consideration. Sounds like a blast.
Yes, it does. Will from Nashville on the text line says, unfortunately, I think the Colts are going to contend for the division now that Matt Ryan's quarterback. Wentz is so bad. That's coming from Will from Nashville on the text line.
Yeah, I think they're going to contend for the division too. I figured if they got any of these reputable starting quarterbacks, that they'd be good enough to compete. You said it earlier on the show, Robbie, and it still stands, but I think they'll address it. They need receivers badly. I think they need receivers. I think they need to improve. I know they got Ngakoue, and that could work out for them. I mean, he's still a good player, but they need to be better at rushing the passer and at catching passes. And if they do that, it's a good football team. So I agree. They're going to be right there. I think Matt Ryan will at the very least be solid and steady. And I think solid and steady at that position can win you a good 10 games in Indy with that team, maybe more. Yeah. Now, Wentz, again, I agree with moving on from him, and he underperformed relative to what I expected. He did win some games for them. We should remember that. Then he completely, again, the Jacksonville thing is like, so hard to understand with this team. And is it all on him? That's the thing. If you're a Colts fan, you want to believe like, get Wentz out of there and that's that. But Frank Reich, that situation is bothersome, I think, if you're a Colts fan.
Yeah, I think so too. Indy Ben texting in says, Matt Ryan is basically a younger, better version of Rivers. So it'll be a close race for the division this coming season. Also, in regards to Raidens, he plays much better on the left side, so he'll most likely fill in at left guard with a possibility of being the long-term left tackle once Lawan moves on. This is coming from Indy Ben on the text line. So apparently Indy Ben is a fan of the Matt Ryan move as well.
And Dylan Raidens. Should Titans fans be worried that a Colts fan is a huge fan of Dylan Raidens? And you may be right. Honestly, I did think about that, Indy Ben, in terms of Raidens. Like, is he, even when he was drafted, like, could this be eventually like Lawan's replacement? Long way to go before you would be feeling good about that if you're the Titans. But I agree with you on, look, it's going to be a good division race. If you told me right now, once we get into prediction time, and we don't know what's going to happen with the draft, but you told me right now, like the Colts get a really nice draft pick at receiver and everybody picks the Colts to win the division, I won't be surprised.
No. Paul on the text line says, I can absolutely visualize Joe getting awkwardly walked away from a restaurant singing happy birthday over his shoulder as he walked out the door. We'll see you later, NWI. Hope you have a good night.
NWI.
Oh, beautiful.
Hercules.
Joe, big day for Tennessee football yesterday. They land a five-star quarterback commitment. Nicholas Iamaleava. I hope I said that right. Iamaleava, I believe is correct. Five-star quarterback from California. He is the number 7 overall prospect, according to 24/7 Sports, for the class of 2023, and is also, I believe, the number 4 quarterback. So a five-star quarterback. This would be, I believe, the first five-star guy that they land at quarterback since 02, I believe is right. So we've talked about Josh Heupel and getting a program-changing quarterback. This feels like this could potentially be the guy. If he comes in and stays committed to Tennessee, commits to Tennessee, signs with Tennessee, this feels like this could be the guy that comes in and maybe is that quote-unquote program-changing quarterback that Tennessee has not been able to recruit in a long, long time. Big deal for Josh Heupel and company yesterday.
It's a huge deal in the recruiting world. Huge. You know, I think one service has him as the 4th quarterback, but as the 7th player. So it's not only their first 5-star quarterback, you know, in a long, long time, but also you're talking about, you know, Tennessee doesn't get many top 10 players. On that. Now, our quarterbacks maybe a little by those rankings sometimes, you know, does it get a little skewed toward quarterback? Well, it is kind of an important position, but look, all indications on him are that he's a special talent. This is also where I warn everyone about, you know, just don't know. You don't know. I absolutely expect him to sign. I think, you know, this is a solid commitment. I feel very good about that. But, you know, like they've had other big time quarterback recruits, not to this level, but they've had, I mean, Harrison Bailey was going to save the world. My Jared Garantano, when he was still Garantano, oh, get him on the field right now. I mean, you know how it is. And I think it's especially, you know, once you get that player on campus, there's so much, I've seen it in other programs too, so much public sentiment to get that player on the field. And you got to go earn it. So, but I think regardless of how that works out, this should be big for the class. I mean, this is a lot of times what you see with great recruiting classes is that you get that quarterback early, and it just it makes sense for that to have an influence on players who would want to play with that guy, and to have him now be able to basically recruit for Tennessee. So. It's a big deal. It's a and I figured that it wouldn't be long before Josh Heupel hit big at that position based on what we saw last year. How is that not appealing to someone who wants to play quarterback, you know, at the highest level? This offense is, you know, it's fun. It may not be exactly what they do in the NFL, and that's what probably what other coaches say. Well, you're not going to be doing this tempo stuff in the NFL, but you are on a heck of a stage, and it's a great offense to be in, and they develop quarterbacks. And so I don't think this will be the last big quarterback commitment they get either.
Well, and with the commitment of Nico Iamaleava yesterday, Vols went from 19th in the country recruiting from the composite to in the top 10 with one guy. Went in the top 10 yesterday, according to 24/7 Sports. So, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. And you know, the questions, we've talked about it a ton here on the show, like the questions of Heupel being able to recruit. You start recruiting top-level quarterbacks like that, to your point, that's going to help you with the rest of the class, and all of a sudden the questions about Heupel and recruiting start to go out the window if you land a couple more of these.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, this is – if a player like – there's a big if, so much work to go into it, so much we don't know, so many variables. But if – this particular, some recruits do live up to their ranking, and some recruits exceed their ranking, even if they're highly ranked. You know, if he can do that, if Nico is that guy, you know, that's where you also have a chance to make up some ground on some of these other programs that just, I mean, they still have a lot more talent than you do. And it can be a great equalizer having a great player at quarterback. And they may have that with Hendon Hooker this year, yep. But in terms of, you think about someone who is prototypical NFL quarterback in terms of measurements and everything, which Hendon Hooker isn't in this offense, and that's got to be pretty exciting.
Got a texture that says, do we have any idea of where Arch Manning will sign? I know that he just visited Georgia. And apparently he liked that. So, I mean, look, he's the Georgias, the Bamas, the Ole Misses of the world. They're all going to be involved in that.
I thought there was a lot of momentum that he was going to go to Clemson, but I know that some people are holding out hope that he'll, you know, do the family, most of the family tradition and go to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. There will be apparently plenty of talk about it.
This, according to 24/7 Sports, says Georgia is one of the schools in the running, along with Bama, Texas, Florida, LSU, and Ole Miss.
Oh, so Clemson's out?
Those are the schools that they've listed.
I'm very up on my Arch Manning news. Hey, real quick, I just have to, since we're talking quarterbacks, I don't know what mock draft this is from, but Lane Dixon tweeted this to us, a mock draft, and it said on Kenny Pickett, Monday's Pitt Pro Day revealed that Pickett's hands have somehow expanded.
Yeah, they were 8.5, and now they're like 8 5/8, man. He's making some progress.
He's been like stretching his hands since the combine.
No, that was a big topic on NFL Live yesterday. I think they talked about it for 10 minutes. They're like, oh, I wonder if he stretched them.
He's got rubber bands pulling from both sides. Just getting those things wider a little bit. But 8.5 to 8 5/8.
That's got to make you feel better about drafting him, right?
He's probably moved up a couple spots at least, I would say. Right.
If he can get that to 8.75, number one overall pick.
No question about it. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The opportunity to guess the goal scorer tonight for the Predators. If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the LA Kings. Puck drop at 9:30, pregame at 8:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is an ESPN Plus night, so make sure you remember that. Keep that in mind. Preds taking on the Kings, second half of a back-to-back. The standings in Pick to Click are as such. Joe Rex Road, everybody winning yesterday. The listeners, me, you, Michelle, everybody on the board yesterday as the Preds take down the Anaheim Ducks, which brings the competition to the listeners in first place with 16 correct answers. Joe Rexrode right behind them with 15, Robbie Stanley with 13, and Michelle now in double digits with 10. So the competition is heating up, no question about it. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kenny from Spring Hill. Kenny, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kenny, who is your pick to click tonight for the Preds as they take on the LA Kings?
I got to stay with the hot hand, Forsberg.
I like it. Kenny, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, Kenny going with Philip Forsberg, fresh off a 5-point performance last night, including 2 goals against the Anaheim Ducks. So, Kenny stepping out on a limb, going with Philip Forsberg in the competition. Michelle, you were up first today among us. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, isn't that just perfect? Listen, Kenny told me on the phone he has picked Matt Duchene the last couple times he's called in, and he never scores when he picks him, but he scores when he doesn't. So, perfect. I pick Matt Duchene. Let's hope he scores tonight. Kenny, I also hope Philip Forsberg scores.
There you go. So, Forsberg and Duchene are off the board, as typically is the case in the first two picks of this competition. Joe, I went with Yossi yesterday, going the defenseman route. Paid off for me. Got a nice goal in the game. First goal of the game for the Predators. I'm going to go a little bit off the board today. A little bit off the beaten path, as they say. Give me Philip Tomasino. Philip Tomasino, my selection. I like the way he's playing. Had a great play last night to get Yossi the puck. I think Philip Tomasino finds the back of the net tonight. So I will go Tomasino with my pick to click. Forsberg, Duchene, Tomasino off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click tonight.
Funny how I'm last.
Yes, it is.
You literally were first 2 days ago.
He doesn't remember that.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was yesterday, right?
It was yesterday.
My old brain. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, your old brain is spreading on this show. You know what? I'm going to go Yakov Trenin.
Oh, wow. Trenin. I like it. So you and I had Tanner Jeannot and Ryan Johansson and Mikael Granlund and Roman Yossi at our disposal, and none of us went there.
Yes, this is true. I thought about all those guys, but, and I really thought about Granlund. I just, yep. You know, it's like who's due, who's still, you know, playing well, but yeah, I think Trennan's, I feel good about that actually.
I like it. Trennan's, he's a good player, man. So the pick to click competition for today, Forsberg, Duchesne off the top, like they typically are, coming from Kenny from Spring Hill and Michelle. I went with Philip Tomasino, a little bit off the beaten path today. Joe going with Yakov Trennan as well. So the Preds taking on the Kings tonight in the second half of a back-to-back. Joe, after the win last night for the Predators, at the moment, they are in third place in the Central Division. They are tied in points with the Minnesota Wild. They are 1 point ahead of the Blues, who have two games in hand on them as well. So the Predators, at the moment, in third place in the Central. Regardless, big win last night against the Ducks. They got behind in that game early, 1-0. They find their way to kind of claw back in there. You heard a clip from John Hines earlier in the show. Didn't necessarily think it was an identity game for the Predators as to how he wants them to play, but they found a way to win the game anyway, 6-3. And Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchesne continued to just be incredible together. Both of them had scored two goals last night. Forsberg ends up with 5 points on the night, 2 goals and 3 assists. Pretty good night from number 9.
I mean, it's just, you know, these two guys are just, it's like they're out there just doing trick shots and stuff and just having a good time, you know, like, and then one of them scores. It's like you almost know for sure the other one is about to score.
Yeah.
I really haven't seen anything quite like this with an NHL team with two guys like this. And well, especially when one of them, so here's a great, I got to find this tweet from Alex Doherty. I think he said 15 points in the last 7 games for Duchesne, which is, of course, more than last season. Yep. Is that right? More than last season?
Let me double check.
No, that can't be right. Well, that can't be right. I must have read that wrong. Maybe more than, I don't know.
No, he had 13 points last year.
God, that's right. Unbelievable.
He had 13 points in 34 games.
Yeah. Yeah, the 34 games, but still, my goodness.
I mean, he's at 66 right now, and he's going to end up somewhere in the 80s, maybe low 90s if they keep playing the way they're playing right now. Like Roman Josi, it kind of felt like another average night for him last night, and he had 2 points, 1 goal, 1 assist. Now it's 77 points in 61 games. Like he has a chance to break 100 points. Like the 85 to me, like the single season scoring record, like it's basically a given if he stays healthy at this point. He's got a chance to get to 100, which would just be insane for a defenseman.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, absolutely outrageous. And I know the last night of the broadcast, Willie and C-Mace kind of, you know, we're doing the, you know, the side-by-sides with Josi and Makar. And, you know, he compares favorably. I still have my doubts based on when you're doing that stuff for like the number one seed in a conference.
Yeah.
That gives you a leg up. And when you do some of the ridiculous stuff he does. But then again, Josi does lots of ridiculous stuff too. I mean, if you did a side-by-side of some of the plays both have made, you'd also have a really good competition.
You could have a pretty decent sized highlight reel with the two of them this year just by themselves based on the stuff that they're doing. I mean, it's incredible. And now, you know, Johansson's starting to put the puck in the back of the net too. He gets a goal on the power play last night. So he's at 17, which, by the way, 17 goals is more than he has ever scored in a season in a Predators uniform before. Now, he scored 33 one year with Columbus, but 17 is more goals than he has ever scored in a single season for the Predators. So he's at 47 points, 17 goals in 60 games. He's probably going to end up somewhere around 60 points this year. I mean, that's right about where he needs to be just based on the way that he's played in his career. And he might hit 20 goals. I mean, we talk about Ryan Johansson needing to get to 20 goals for 5 years. He might actually get there this year.
Yeah. And he could potentially, you know, have his best point season with the Preds too, which was 64 back in the 18-19 season. So, look, one thing about Johansson and Duchesne playing like this, if you want to take it to the Forsberg conversation, I mean, well, like Johansson doesn't have a ton of term left. Like, if it does go worst case scenario and you lose Forsberg, I think, like, if you wanted to go full rebuild, you actually probably you may have two movable contracts now, based on how they played this year, potentially. Whereas a year ago, zero chance.
By the way, Tanner Janot got another fight last night. Are people going to stop doing that? You think that's going to happen at any point where people just like don't fight him because he absolutely destroyed this guy last night?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd skate away. That'd be my advice. Not a pro hockey player, but I'd skate away.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We'll see you later. No, thanks.
Morawiecki had some punches thrown too.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, this team, they don't mess around, man. They're not afraid to throw the gloves. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Busy, busy week in the world of the NFL. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.